This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What's up? Good Monday.
Matthew Dunn.
You know, looking us there?
You caught that.
I did catch
it. It's Tuesday. Just kidding.
It is Tuesday.
Good Tuesday.
That's an okay Tuesday.
What do you mean?
Half a point, really? Half a point?
Your Blazers?
Half a point?
Well, you're the idiot that bet on them.
Half a point.
Did you bet on them too, Buckley?
No.
I lost 20 bucks.
No.
Why would you bet on the Blazers?
It's fun. Why not? Throw a little something
because
on there.
They suck. That's
see
why.
What happens. They were down by like 20, and then they made a.
Down 26.
And then they made a nice little comeback there, and then we had a meaningless freaking three. Mm. Is it like Dougie Buckets or whatever hit a meaningless three?
Hey,
Those are the worst. That's why gambling sucks.
Do you call the books and say, hey, you know, we almost got it. Can you just go ahead and pay it anyway?
Yeah, I feel like that's.
You get paid. No,
I feel like it countsies.
Even if it's close?
12 and a half, 13.
You know what you needed to have done? Was called John Anthony.
John Anthony would have had confirmed information that I should have bet on the Kings.
Dang.
I felt pretty good when they made the push there. And Scoot, I was like, all right, here we go. We're gonna get it to 12. We're going to get it to 12. Wrong.
I'm going to go to that lake.
Wrong. We didn't go to that lake. Now I'm out 20 bucks.
Well, that's your own damn fault.
Don't worry. Double up to catch up.
Or you can blame Danny.
I'll call John Anthony next time and get confirmed information. He'll go 5-0 for me.
He's number one against the spread.
And I'll tell Danny to go pound sand. I did like that was the first thing Danny said to me when he saw me today. He's like, hey, man, I'm sorry. I'm like, hey, what are you going to do?
Well, it does stink to give out a thought or a tip to somebody and then have that tip lose. That's why you don't do it very often.
Well, and the bar that I was drinking at, me and my buddy were watching the World Series and then Monday Night Football, and they didn't have the Blazers. So even after Monday Night Football ended, they threw up the end of the World Series on the rest of the TVs, and then that ended. And we were like, hey, can you throw on the Blazer game? And he looked at me and he was like, why? And I was like, well, I got money on it. And he was like, oh, he's like, well, we don't have that. And I was like, ah, oh, crap. So, shocker, we ended up drinking at another bar, and they didn't have it either. So I was kind of paying attention to it, like, on my phone, and was just kind of, like, looking down and was like, every now and then checked up. And then it got to the end. I was like, you 13?
Blazers.
Freaking Vegas, man. They know what they're doing. So
no
at least
way.
I didn't have to watch it live. I just kind of saw the game cast of it.
So... is this a problem that you can't go anywhere in Portland and get the damn Blazers game?
I will say that we were at three bars.
Should you not be able to watch a Blazer game at a bar?
Well, I mean, I suppose they could have done...
Should that be an expectation?
I think this is always interesting to me when the service industry or the restaurant industry can't figure out the sports necessities of their TVs. And I feel like there's going to be a period here in Portland for 1 or 2 months where... places that want to do the Blazers for their fans don't know how and are trying to figure it out, and the next person in, and it's a bunch of part-time people, and no one really knows, and they'll get things dialed in by 2025.
I love the question. Hey, could you put the Blazers
I don't know.
On? Why?
Why is a better question.
To be fair, only one of them was a sports bar. The other two were not sports bars. They were just bars. But I did enjoy the why.
Why?
And I'm telling you.
It's a good question.
No one in that bar gave two flying you-know-whats. So it's like, yeah. But they did not have the, I think they had, they might have had YouTube TV for their live TVs. Or maybe it was DirecTV. I forget which one they had. But they had one of the streaming ones, and he said that they won't be able to get it until, it was January, right, where it kicks on. So he's like, yeah, you can come back in January and watch that. But I just loved the, huh? What? Yeah, but hey, we got the Monday Night Football game, which ended up having a nice ending to it. And the World Series gave us some drama, you know, something.
Not really.
Well, you had a two-run shot, you know, you thought,
yeah, see, I missed that.
And that football game sucked. I'm sorry. That was not good.
Yeah, well, it was peak Daniel Jones.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah, the Giants are hard to watch.
It was vintage
but
Daniel
Jones. The World Series was...
You didn't see the homer?
No, because it was over. It was 4-0, two outs in the ninth, and I'm like, ah, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah. Well, again...
And then there was a home run.
Yeah, there was a home run.
I did turn it back, and I'm like, wait, it's 4-2?
Yeah, well, there was two out, though, but you
the
thought,
hell?
Well, you know, because I think, who got out? Who made the
Verdugo.
Final out? Yeah, Verdugo.
Oh no, Verdugo.
Verdugo hit,
no, Verdugo hit the home run. Whoever, I forget who was up, but had he got on base, then Soto would have come up.
Yeah, it was Torres.
And so I was kind of like, oh, God, if they get one more on, you got Soto up. And...
Hey, I saw something that I think is real.
Yeah.
And it may not be real, mm-hmm. but I think it's real.
Oh, boy, we're about to get ball sacked, aren't we?
I don't think so.
Which probably means yes, but go ahead.
Is it really a thing where Yankee fans believe that they have it worse than anyone? Have you been seeing this?
That can't be
real.
Well, it is, though.
Really? Well, I will say...
I think.
I will say, the bar we were at, there was one, it was pretty packed at the beginning, and then by the time the games were winding down, it had kind of filtered out, and there was just a few of us in there. But there was one table of Yankee fans, and they were great, because they were losing it. Stanton is the worst player of all time until Aaron Judge comes up, and Aaron Judge sucks. Get rid of Juan Soto. Everyone, I mean, it was just... there was a woe is me mentality. Now, I don't know if that means they have it worse than everyone else, but the amount of bitching, and it was hilarious. It was the best part of watching that game.
Well, you
was just seeing a table full of Yankee fans melt down.
But if you were watching the game and looking at the crowd shots,
yeah.
Dude, there is a new great sports pouty face, and it's Yankee fan, because it's not just the facial expression. Yeah. They're animated. They're like yelling and crying.
Yeah. Well, it's been a while since they've been good, and...
Well, this is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
So what I read was that people believe that they are trolling, mm-hmm. but they are not.
Yeah.
And there's this group of Yankee people who are younger, and... They think they have it worse than anybody for several reasons. They don't think it applies to the older generation of Yankee fans because, oh, I don't know, there were 27 titles.
Does seem like
a lot. Or 26 if you take out 2009.
Yeah. Seems like a lot.
So 2009, they won.
Yeah.
Before that, they have 26 World Series championships.
Yeah.
But for young Yankee fans, the thread I read, they said that every year being the World Series favorite and then having their stars S the bed and never win while living in the shadow of a dynasty is worse than any other fan's plight.
Have they seen Mariner fan? I mean.
And they also think that it's worse that they have 27 rings mm-hmm. that they never saw.
Huh.
Yeah, you that'd be kind of like me as a 49ers fan saying that, like, it sucks being a 49ers fan because they haven't won one since 94. But it's like they had five before that. I don't know. I get why. As a sports fan, if you're operating in a vacuum, any season you can think your lot as a sports fan sucks. Look, but
this is
worse than anybody.
This is such a dumb argument, but I'm gonna throw a but.
Not worse than anybody. No.
Look,
they think they have it worse than everybody.
I see where they're coming from.
I see where you could talk yourself into it.
Yes, because if you're a who's never been the Brewers have never won, Mariners never won, Padres,
Rockies,
Rays, right? So if you've never been one of those franchises, or if you're one of those franchises, you've never won a World Series.
And I don't think anyone who's a Cleveland fan has seen one alive.
Yeah. So like that stinks. I mean, the Mets haven't won one since 86, and I was a kid, and you know, I remember it, but I was like 8, you know, haven't had one in my adult life. But I never... There is a valid point. If you're one of those fan bases, there's never been a time where you are like, hey, there's no way this isn't our year. And if you're a Yankee fan or a Cowboy fan, you constantly have to hear the media shove it down your throat that this is the year and you spend all this money. I'll tell you this. I can see that point of view.
Cowboys way worse than Yankees, though.
Yes.
Like, because Cowboys suck. Like,
they
the
actually
Yankees
haven't won
good.
Anything in a while. The Cowboys.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's a different argument. I can see that apply more to Dallas than the Yankees. And I see what they're saying, but that is so shorts. Oh.
And I'm sorry, it's only been 15 years. So how old are these upset fans?
We haven't won a World Series in 15 years. The humanity.
I know.
Grow up.
See, that part is where it's ridiculous. But I'm just saying.
Mariner fan would like a word.
The bones of the argument.
Are you out of your mind?
Look, there's concepts of a plan.
What that means
is. There's concepts of an argument.
All that means is that humans will spin anything into a woe is me story.
I have concepts of a plan.
It doesn't matter what it is. Humans will find a way to bitch about it.
It is true.
You're bitching about the freaking New York Yankees. Look, I'm sorry you're not going to win the World Series, but you guys are good every
single year. You're in the World Series. It can't be worse for you than anybody else.
It can't. Full stop.
Just by
shut up.
Being in the World Series right now, you can't have it worse.
Get some perspective, you whiny little bitches.
How much money did you spend on Garrett Cole?
And that's the other thing.
How much money did you spend to keep Aaron Judge? I guess how much money can you spend to keep Juan Soto? Like, come on.
This is exactly why the entire country is rooting against the Yankees. Yeah. Right there. Yes. It's like, dude, you are so in a bubble. You have no idea what it's like to be a fan of any other team but the Yankees. If you think that's bad,
bitch,
you're an idiot.
And at least the Cowboys have to play in the confines of the salary cap, whereas the Yankees don't. And I'll give the Dodger fan this. At least Dodger fan just kind of shuts up. Like, I mean, look, the Dodgers have been kicked in the nuts many times because they have a team every year that should win a World Series. Now they have the one. Some would say it's kind of a farcical one, 60 games. But I don't necessarily hear a Dodger fan whining every year that they haven't gotten over the top. So, Yankee fan, roll it up real tight and cram it. Nice effort, though. It's an A for effort.
It's so dumb.
But you're still Yankee fan, and we still all hate you, and we're rooting against you.
So when you're the Yankees,
get swept.
You can be good every year because you can just go change your roster.
Yeah.
You don't understand what a luxury that is.
Well, and it's young people.
Try being the ace.
Young people love to do the, it's never been, you know, the one that drives me bananas is when young people say, you don't know what it's like to be young, and you didn't have to go through this, and I just laugh. Like, this is the greatest time to be alive. Go tell your grandfather. Go tell your great-grandfather. Go tell someone that lived through a world war or a Great Depression or the Civil Rights Movement or anything else, women's suffrage. Go tell them that this is the worst time to be alive ever. Our country's never been more divided. Hey, dumbass, we had a civil war. We had to go march down for a couple months and then go shoot the racism out of the South. Yeah, I think we've been more divided.
Who won?
I don't know. I think the Yankees did. There you go. It was the Yankees, the freaking Yankees.
Here's
but
a
young
text.
People always want to believe they have it the worst.
Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. It's a stupid generation that's focused only on themselves rather than being a part of something that has a tradition of success and being proud, because if I haven't had it, nothing else matters.
There you go.
That's accurate.
Very accurate. You know what else is accurate? You know, as it worse right now than Yankee fan? Rich white men. They just don't know the pain. It's true. When will the upper middle class white man finally get his due? When's that going to happen?
It's hard.
Gosh. It's my favorite line from The Simpsons of all time when Mr. Burns goes, finally the rich white man has the upper hand. Ah, woe is me.
Well, hopefully the World Series ends tonight.
Just, you know, you don't want to extend it? Just put it out of its misery?
Well, no, the Yankees aren't going to win.
Yeah, but you don't want to go to 5-6? Give a little?
Let's bury the stupid Yankees.
Okay. Right. I love the World Series, and so selfishly, I wouldn't mind seeing it go on. It's always cooler when a team wins it at home, and I think it'd be kind of fun if the Yankees won a couple, got it back to L.A., and then we had some drama in Game 6, and then the Yankees got their nuts kicked in Los Angeles, and then they got to celebrate at home. I can get on board with that. Give me a couple more games. Because once the World Series is over, I got to pay attention to the NBA. Don't give me that.
Well, you really don't.
Well, I got to bet on it, though. So maybe.
You don't have to do that either.
Well, then I can't. Then there's really no reason to watch it. None whatsoever.
You've been talked into all this stuff.
Got all this
Think
stuff.
For yourself.
I know.
You don't have to bet on the NBA.
What if we just want to be sheeple and cash our little bets and make our little bets?
Yeah, I get it.
Hey, I got the college football playoff coming up. I'm all right.
That's right.
I can find some stuff.
Well, NHL. We do have game 4 tonight.
Yeah.
Dodgers can celebrate in New York, which I think would be... that's kind of why I want to see. I just want to see them celebrate there in front of all those crying, yelling Yankee fans.
Can they get someone to hijack the sound system and play I Love LA while in New York?
What do you suppose they're going to play?
Nothing.
When they're celebrating.
Well, I would assume in the clubhouse, I love LA, but...
No, I mean, like, the Yankees... Don't you have to troll them as they're celebrating on your field?
What, how are you going to...
I think Major League Baseball makes you play, like, a generic background track. You know, like...
Like the Field of Dreams or, like, the natural song. Or even just, like...
Yeah, kind of just instrumental music that is nothing. Elevator music, essentially.
I'm also hoping that Aaron Judge is broken.
It sounds like it.
And will never hit again.
Is it Verducci? I read a piece today where they were saying people close to him just think he's in his head and he's tied in knots. Which, by the way, the
maybe it's teeth.
Jeez, what? It's not bothering.
He's got veneers.
Well, what about Freddie Freeman?
Well, I know
his teeth are bigger.
Do you know he's the shortest odds to hit a home run tonight? Judges, Judge,
really?
Yeah.
Do you think that Aaron Judge is having like post-traumatic stress syndrome because he saw Freddie Freeman's teeth and now he understands that he could have gone bigger and he feels inadequate about his own teeth in comparison to Freddie Freeman's? And maybe we need to get him some bigger veneers stat. Because those Freeman teeth, man, oh man.
Yeah, Freeman's are a little much.
But yeah, those choppers are really something.
Yeah.
But boy, can he hit.
Yes, he can.
Judges are a little much.
Yeah, but he...
But boy, he can't hit.
Well, he could. But I love how, like, right? Like, you go... In baseball, you go through slumps. But God forbid you go through one in the postseason. Now we just have to murder you forever. I would also like to point out that the greatest baseball player that I've ever seen in my entire life, Barry Bonds, was dreadful in the postseason for his entire career. And then he had one World Series where he broke out, but they didn't win.
Judge has 214 postseason at-bats.
Yeah.
He has struck out in 86 of them. And he is hitting 196.
Yeah, under the Mendoza line is a harsh reality for that many at-bats.
And that is really weird. It is one thing to struggle. You know, you get face better pitching.
This is akin to the Kershaw stuff.
This is bad.
Like the Kershaw regular season, postseason for a while, or he was just getting lit up?
Yeah. He can't even make contact. Like he...
And it's just, he's spinning into the ground. It's in his head. And
you
throw him a breaking ball, it looks like Pedro Serrano. He just kind of waves at it. It's not even, there's no good cuts.
Everybody knows it's coming, including him, and he can't hit it.
Yeah. If you're judged, you just sit there and see if they can just throw you strikes. Just put it on your shoulder. Sit fastball, and if it's not there, just, you're like, I don't know, it's, you know, strike me out looking. Because whatever you're doing, it ain't working.
Has anybody gone back and look at Freddie Freeman's old teeth?
No. Do a little comp.
Because you know, there it is, right there. Yeah.
What are you gonna give us an analysis here?
I don't have one. It's
tough
just
to tell.
Well, no, it's not tough to tell. I mean, clearly he's got veneers.
Oh, yeah, the old teeth. Yeah, I see him right here.
It's just, I forgot what you know, when you see somebody with veneers, you only need two or three times to look at them before you forget what they used to look like.
All I know is he paid a lot of money for those veneers, and I think he got rooked.
I mean, as long as he's happy.
Yeah, that's all that matters. But yeah, it is a...
Judges were bad, too.
It is a shocking transformation. If you ever want to see the ultimate veneers, look at Tom Cruise.
Well,
he had middle tooth, remember?
Yeah, Tom's were...
Yeah.
Tom Cruise middle tooth. It's wild.
Judge had the big gap.
Yeah.
And so his look good now. Yeah. He got that all cleaned out.
Freeman just needs to reduce him by like 35%. You know, like part of your testosterone program, like toning it down, we need like 30% less mass on the veneers.
Do you think if I told Aaron Judge right now, you're going to break out of your postseason slump forever, but you have to put your old teeth back?
Regap your teeth.
Would he do it?
I certainly would hope so.
I don't think he would.
Like, no way, man.
You don't think he'd regap?
No. No. Nope.
You regap and then you start hitting into the gap as opposed to striking out?
Once you gap, you know what they say.
Yeah, you're stuck. You're stuck there.
Weird to say? I think that's kind of like a cool physical trait. Like when you have a... Like, it's better than having your teeth all crossed up. Like, Michael Strahan's made it his thing. Like, Aaron Judge wasn't an unattractive dude when he had a gap in his teeth.
It's easy to say when you don't have a gap and you grew up your entire life.
I know.
Says the bald man.
Exactly, right? You know how many people tell me all the time, oh, you look great, bald. That's, you know, why would you want hair? Do you have a full head of hair? Yeah, shut up then. If you're a bald guy, you can tell me that. But sit there with a luscious head of hair and tell me that, oh, it's wrong with being bald. Get bent. It's like a tall person telling a short guy, what's the problem?
Judges, I don't know who fixed his teeth, but they did a good job.
Yeah.
Because he just looks normal now.
Yeah.
Whereas Freeman's teeth.
Yeah. A little Frankenstein.
They jump off the page at you and it's like, ah.
Yeah.
Even after seeing it multiple times. So I don't know what the difference in those two is.
Size and one's like the color of the sun. It's just that
bright. It's just who they went to or what they chose or I don't know. It's like plastic surgery. Sometimes you get... Yeah. You know, good plastic surgery, and sometimes they botch it.
You just think with a guy like or like Freddie Freeman, you got the money. You know, he probably just chose that. Hey, bigger is better, right?
I'm going to get some veneers, and they're going to be so obnoxious.
They're so spendy, man.
That you will never look at me the same again.
It's like walking into like that weird white fluorescent hospital light. You're like, oh my God, what is happening? Am I dying? Am I seeing the light? No, it's just Rupp's new caps. Like, we're all right.
Don't they just shave down all your teeth?
Yeah, they look like little nubs.
And then they put, and they just glue these on it.
It's terrifying when you see them without the veneers because, yeah, they shave them down to little baked beans.
Dude. So what happens when you get a baseball to the face and your veneers fall out?
You gotta get new veneers. Mm. Yeah, you can't get your old teeth back. So it's a commitment. It's a lifelong commitment.
All right, let's start with our poll question, guys. You ready for that? That's next on The Fan. All right, it's time for poll question. It's on X. At 1080 The Fan. Yesterday, we asked you which team is most unstoppable right now. Oregon winning that, 41%. Second was the Lions, 25%. Chiefs, 18%. Dodgers, 16%. Yet they seem to be the most unstoppable.
Well, right now, they are up 3-0. That and the... When's the last time the Chiefs lost? I mean, I know they're not dominating people, but it's...
When is the last time they lost?
You got to go back a ways, don't you?
Yeah. They're pretty good.
They're 7-0.
Yeah. They're 7-0. And
so they won 3 playoff games?
So they had to do the wild card last year, so...
That's 10. I'm looking here for you. I got that for you.
What was the date of the last
They won time? Their last...
They won their last...
they won 4 in the playoffs. So
and they won 11. Their last 2 regular season games.
They had to go to the playoffs. They had to go into the wild card.
So 13. They won 13 games in a row. Their last loss was to the mighty Las Vegas Raiders on Christmas Day.
The Raiders.
Last year.
I mean, they've had some close calls, but, you know, if you want to talk about teams that, you know, that charger it, now Cincinnati is one of those. Have you seen Baltimore has actually blown more fourth quarter leads than anyone?
John Harbaugh is the king of making you sweat.
Yeah, they're weird. I feel like they're a really good team, but they get squirrely and they lose games they shouldn't lose.
Yeah, they're like the Stanford Cardinals of the NFL. Like Stanford, for all those years, you know, they were always really good under David Shaw, and then they'd have a loss to like Northwestern. You're like, what in the hell? That's Baltimore. I mean, my God, and they did it last year in the playoffs. I still can't figure out how they lost that game. They were the best team in the NFL last year, but they ain't winning anything. And I was getting ready to say that I thought they were probably the best team in the NFL right now. And then they lose, and they let Jameis go out and eat a W. It's the damnedest thing.
So, today's poll question on X at 1080 The Fan. Who is your Heisman after 9 weeks? Travis Hunter, Dylan Gabriel, Ashton Jeanty, or Cam Ward? Vote. Vote hard.
Boy, I'll tell you what. It's hard to not vote for Jeanty and what he's done, but I think it's Travis Hunter. Look, I'm not one of those guys that will that hates just for the sake of hating. Like, I thought Deion was a lot. I was kind of hoping they'd fall on their face. They didn't. They've had a solid season. They're not great by any stretch of the imagination, but give them credit. They're bowl eligible, and what Travis Hunter is doing on both sides of the ball, I mean, I've never seen it. Never seen anything quite like this. So, I mean, Charles Woodson won a Heisman playing both sides, but he wasn't a full-time guy. He just was a spot player as a receiver and a return guy. Travis Hunter is literally playing every snap on offense and defense. And arguably, you can make the case that he should win the Biletnikoff Award this year as the best receiver. And he's still a solid DB. He's stupid good. So, if it really is the best player and not just, you know, best player, best team, it's Travis Hunter with a side of Jeanty, because he's silly too. And on a lesser team against their best competition, see Oregon, he still was the best player on the field. So he was the best player on the field when Boise State played the number one team in the country now in Oregon.
Yeah, Jenty's averaging 8.7 yards per carry.
Yeah, and
any good?
And the numbers would have been even better had they let him finish games. But a lot of times they sit him down.
Current odds, Dylan Gabriel, the favorite, plus 240.
And that goes to the quarterback on the best team.
And I think if Oregon goes undefeated, I think Gabriel wins it.
Yeah, that's usually the case.
Travis Hunter, plus 250, so they're neck and neck. Cam Ward, plus 300, and Jeanty down there at plus 450 now. And then way off the page is Cade Klubnik at plus 2,500.
Yeah.
So it's a four-man race at this point.
Well, and remember, Heisman trophies, fair or not, are usually won in the last month of the season, and it's you have a marquee moment, right? You have to have something splashy, and so some national stage. I don't think Genty's going to get that. I'm not sure if Hunter will have that, but Gabriel should have a moment to be on that stage. Maybe Cam Moore could have that moment. So those guys will have an advantage because they'll have primetime eyes on them. Not certain that Boise State and Colorado are going to have that marquee national moment.
Yeah. I don't think Genty has any shot at winning it.
Probably not.
Hunter, maybe, because of the things that you pointed out.
He's just so unique.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be Gabriel. Or somebody out of the blue, like, you know, let's say Ewers just gets hot and then lights up Texas A&M and
something.
Wins the SEC, you know.
It's going to be tough.
These things can change really fast.
Absolutely they can. Like I said, it's usually not about being the best player. It's about, you know, just moments and creating buzz and then, you know, grabbing votes. And there's usually a East Coast Southern bias, but you know, you think about in the SEC right now, I mean, dude, Ewers has been hurt and he got benched.
I know.
Like, and Beck's not having a good year. He can't win it. He's throwing way too many picks. The Texas A&M quarterback, he just got benched and may not get his job.
What about a 12-0 BYU?
Rat slap. Yeah. I mean, again, he doesn't have the numbers, but
no.
You know, there just isn't, and plus no one's voting for, like, we got one with Ty Detmer, and we're not getting another one. Those days are gone. This is why Genty won't win it. But it's just, you know, we don't really have that guy in the SEC country that really is, like, the biggest marquee guy. And, you know, Cam Ward's having a hell of a year, but again, not a lot of people respect Miami because they're kind of skin of their teeth in it, and it's just a weird year. This may be one of those Heisman Trophy years where you're kind of like, historically you look like when Chris Winkie won it, or who was it, like Jason White, or was it Heupel? Which one of those won it at Oklahoma?
Did both of them win it?
No, I don't think they both won it.
I thought one of them won it.
I think White won it.
Yeah, and
because,
like,
there's the controversy of all the people that voted before his championship game.
And you're like, you kind of look at that Heisman and you're like,
Yeah, Jason White won the Heisman.
Yeah, like, Jason, like, this may be a Jason White sort of Heisman year where you're like, I don't know, it's give it to him. Sure, whatever. It's like, yeah, go away.
All right, vote hard. Coming up next, we'll get to our NFL nickel slot. Another quarterback benched.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Buck. All right, now to our NFL nickel slot as we have some NFL news today. But before we get to that, last night, the Steelers, my Steelers.
Yes.
Now 6-2. Mm-hmm. Beat the New York Giants. And I was watching that game. This is something Buck and I talked about yesterday, but it was off the air, so I'd like to bring the conversation to the air.
Do it.
Because late in that game, Russell Wilson fumbled because the ball got punched out. You know, oftentimes when we watch sports, it's simply to just see people do incredible things that we could never do in a million years, right? And football's got a lot of that. Like, I've always marveled at football players' sideline feet agility.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah, the toe taps.
It's just amazing.
Yeah, the body control.
Just the awareness and the body control and the agility, and it's just awesome.
Mm-hmm.
The new one for me in football is how guys are able to hold on to the football when the defense is doing everything it can to get it out.
Yeah,
like, I feel like we are in a golden age of creating takeaways.
Yeah.
I don't know it's always been a thing, but defenders are getting so good at the punch and the strip.
Yep.
And it really, I sit and watch football and I swear to God, it's like every other play. I'm like, oh my God, he's going to fumble.
Well, now
because
every time
you can see a guy coming from behind with the big arm swipe, or you get three or four guys gang tackling a dude and they're all just ripping at that football. Yeah. I cannot believe how often these guys don't fumble.
Well, that's like, we were talking about when that trend kind of started, because it felt like, I mean, maybe Peanut Tillman gets some credit for that or whatever, but
Lawrence Taylor was the one that originally, like,
the chop?
Well, yeah, it was the strip sack. Like, Lawrence Taylor was the one that was like, why would I want to sack a guy
when I could get the ball?
When I can get the ball. And so now, and especially now with not being able to necessarily make big hits anymore, I don't think anyone, for the most part now, tries to square anyone up and try to get big hits.
Uh-uh.
And I think what you figured out, too, is it's kind of like baseball or basketball, right? Like, we're on the trend now of teams are going to shoot 63s a game because it's, we figured out analytic wise, it doesn't do any good to shoot twos. It's layups, dunks, or three pointers. And in baseball, what do? You get the ball in the air. Just, I don't care if, I'd rather you hit 230 and get 45 than hit 270 and get, you know, 20. And so I think people have realized that squaring up on people and trying to make great form tackles and not giving up an extra 3 or 4 yards, it's not worth it. You are now, when you are in a pile and it is, you reach for the ball. When you're coming around to get a quarterback, you watch any defensive end worth his salt. When he comes around the corner, he is not looking to take the quarterback's head off. He is looking to get the arm and chop the ball out. Even sometimes it leads to a quarterback getting away because he doesn't wrap him up, but he's always coming from behind. And that's the Lawrence Taylor thing.
Well, Watt did that last night too.
Yeah, Watt did it last night. And again, it didn't. It almost ended the game. Or was that the one?
No, that was the one,
and then they got it back.
And then they got it back.
Then the INT. I got my Daniel Jones screw-up confused. I'm like, wait, was that the strip sack or was it the interception? That interception, by the way, was god-awful. But yeah, you see that now is you turn the corner and you're swiping for it. So it is 100% something that every defender now from a little age is taught, well, where it used to more of just be like an instinctual thing.
I tell you what, if I were in the NFL, because you know me, I'm very strong
and
probably should have played many, many years in the NFL.
Clearly.
But I had a knee injury in the eighth grade that prevented me from that.
Pheasant Bowl, man.
The Pheasant Bowl was my crowning moment. See, people conflate these things. I was not injured in the Pheasant Bowl. Read Wikipedia.
What bowl game were you injured in?
Well, it wasn't a bowl game. It was a non-contact injury, playing soccer in my basement with my brother.
Nice. Those things happen.
I was the goaltender.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson had a non-contact.
Stop the shot, though.
That's all that matters.
But in the Pheasant Bowl, that's when I recovered the fumble and became a hero.
local sports legend.
Yeah, a hero to this day.
Yeah.
But so I just cringe to think how often I would fumble.
Yeah.
These guys are so good at holding on to the ball. It's really amazing.
Yeah.
At any rate, did you see that Daboll did the 12-man penalty thing last night?
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah.
It was smart.
Yeah. If there are loopholes to be had, teams will apply them. And then we don't, but no one, that's the thing about college football versus the Giants and the Steelers. Dan Lanning doesn't have to hear about it for like 6 weeks after that, where people are you know, is it dirty ball? Yeah, it does help when you're the Giants and you stink and you lose anyways and no one cares.
Well, this one was, so he had all three of his timeouts and the 2-minute warning.
Yeah.
And it was just before the 2-minute warning and they need to get the ball back because they're down 8.
Yeah.
And the Steelers got two runs to make it 2nd and 3, or no, a 7-yard run made it 2nd and 3.
Yep.
And so very smart. Daboll.
First down.
Daboll took the put 12 men on the field to get a 5-yard penalty so that they would get a first down so that he could use all three of his timeouts on one series instead of, because he was thinking at 3 yards, 2nd and 3, they're probably going to get a first down. So I'll just give them the first down, and then that way I can save a timeout and use all three of my timeouts and the 2-minute warning if I need it.
It's really smart.
On the next series, which did work, and they got the ball back, but then, of course,
Daniel Jones threw an interception.
Daniel Jones became Daniel Jones, and he was Daniel Jones.
But yeah, it's a smart, headsy play. Because, if you rip off 7 yards, you know that chances are they're going to get a first down on that, and then there's no reason to waste timeouts.
That's right.
So, yeah, it's a smart, headsy play, but it doesn't matter when Daniel Jones is your quarterback. And also, let's give Mike Tomlin credit. I still think the Pittsburgh Steelers offense is limited, and I think there's a ceiling. It's a playoff team. I don't think they can win. Their offense still isn't very good. Beating up on the Giants, whatever. And by the way, the sorry-ass Giants still had a chance if they weren't the Giants to win that game. But everyone ripped him and said he was making a foolish decision by benching Justin Fields when they were 4-2, and their offense, while still limited, looks a lot better and it's more diverse with Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And while Russ is not what he was, this was kind of what we said in Denver last year. He was not the main problem in Denver, and he's not going to be a problem in Pittsburgh. There's just a limit to what he can bring to the table.
Well, he can't move anymore.
No.
And that's a problem.
Yes.
And it's so weird to watch him now because we're just so used to what he used to be.
Yeah.
But he's certainly pushing the ball down the field.
Yes.
And doing a really nice job with their offense.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's opened up their run game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all Pittsburgh wants to do is ultimately they just want to run the ball.
Yeah. But the best way, it's a catch-22 because we have this belief that the best way to run the ball in football is to have a running quarterback, because the plus one run game is really effective when you have one. But in reality, the best way to run the ball is to have a quarterback that can push it downfield. Because when you have a quarterback that can push it downfield, you have to play two high safeties. It takes people out of the box. When you can threaten the pass, it opens up the run. And no offense to Justin Fields, but he's not a great thrower of the football. You know, and you see this even with like the Colts and like Anthony Richardson. Like it's
just much better.
It is. It is a much better looking, more NFL style of offense with Russell Wilson at the helm.
Now, their last three wins are the Raiders, Jets, and Giants.
Exactly. So let's just.
And they lost to the Cowboys.
Yeah. So this is why I said ultimately there's a ceiling to what the Steelers are. But everyone now is like, oh, the Steelers, trust me, this is the same Steeler team. It's just a slight upgrade on offense, but they will not beat the better teams when it counts playing this offense. They just won't.
They're 6-2, and I think they're excellent. I love the Steelers. Excuse me. That was Pepsi.
It happens.
I had a couple sips of Pepsi.
Oh, just some sips. You're not a full one.
Oh, God. I couldn't drink a whole. I don't drink
soda.
You're
like that Chiefs player just had a little bit of Sprite at a
time. That's right. During my trainer over there.
Just a little scooch.
He sits off camera, but hands me the Pepsi. I respect the Steelers. I like the way they play. Russell Wilson's made them better. They're 6-2. They're going into a bye feeling good. But a little scheduling quirk I saw that they pointed out last night on the broadcast. Joe Buck said that the Steelers have all six of their divisional games still to play.
Oh.
Did you know that?
I can't say. Well, I was at a bar, so the sound was
That's
down.
Weird.
They have not played.
That's really strange.
A divisional game. As a matter of fact, they will not until week 11.
Really?
And so then, all six.
That's really that weird.
In,
huh?
All six of their games in the division will happen between week 11 and week 18. I've never heard of that. I don't know why that
is. Well, I do know that they like division games, obviously, you know, at the end of the year, because those are when, you know, things are decided. But I can't say that I remember all six being crammed in. So they got, they're at the Commies.
That'll be a good game.
Yeah, that's going to be a great game. Because all of a sudden, the Commanders are playing defense, which I still can't fully process.
Yeah, I feel like those teams are about the same.
And then you got the Ravens. Yep. And then at the Browns. Yep. And we'll see what happens there with Jameis Eaton W's. At Cincinnati, Cleveland, Philly, Ravens, Chiefs, Cincy. So
that ain't easy, dude.
That ain't easy. That's not easy.
If you say that the Bengals and Browns will keep it together,
that's a big boy schedule right there.
That is meat.
Yeah. And so far, Falcons, Broncos, Chargers, Colts, Cowboys, Raiders, Jets, Giants. So yeah, the hard part is still
they've taken come. Advantage of the easy part, but they have still lost to Dallas.
Well, lost to Dallas and the Colts, which, you know, I think that was the Joe Flacco led Colts, which, by the way, going forward.
Yes.
The Joe Flacco led Colts.
Let's get to that next. We do have another quarterback benched. And we'll talk about that when we return on our NFL nickel slot on the Fan. All right, our NBA runaround is coming up. That is our first one of the season. A lot to discuss. Or is there?
You're going to break down that hot Blazer game, are you?
I'm going to go to that lake.
But first, we have another quarterback benched in the NFL.
And by the way, I was reading an article today where there's a little buzz that maybe this is going to have a ripple down effect with agents and what they're telling college quarterbacks.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's get to that in a sec.
Yeah.
But I want to play the audio. So this is Anthony Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to the bench. Colts going with Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Because he's clearly better.
Yes. And the Colts are in every game they've lost. Yeah. They're 500. Every game has been a one possession game.
Yeah.
And this could be a playoff team. And they, Anthony Richardson does not give them the best chance to win games.
Do you know what his completion percentage is?
It's got to be horrific.
You want to take a stab?
You see his line on the last game?
40%, somewhere in there.
He's at 44%.
Yeah, he went 10 of 32 on Sunday. Yeah.
Well, there was a period in the game where if you took away the blown coverage, they had a blown coverage that went for like 69. It was in the first half. So if you take away the blown coverage touchdown where he just, you know, threw it, there was no one within 15 yards of the guy. He went, I think, 69 yards. I think in the first half, he was, I want to say, 2 of 15 for, like, 34 yards. That was his stat line in the first half. Now, granted, there were, you know, some of the guys weren't doing him any favors, but the problem with Anthony Richardson right now is he is so, he's just unable to run a real offense. And you see, this is what I was talking about with, like, Jalen Hurts, although Hurts had a great game last week. when you don't have command of the offense, when you don't have command of the pocket, when you don't have touch, you only have routes on the outside. So what they talked about with Justin Fields, when you hear people say they only play outside of the numbers, it's because those throws are the easiest. They're not the easiest throws to complete. They're the easiest throws to make because there's really no damage. Either the ball is out of bounds or it's overthrown. It's just, it's, you don't have
to be low risk.
You don't have to read anything.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I got a guy on the outside. It's one-on-one. I find that matchup or with the receiver, the safeties, you know, over the top. And I just throw it out there, right? Three steps and there goes the ball. That's all he throws. And so you get these low percentage throws that occasionally one of them hits, but they're a high degree of difficulty, and it's not a functional offense. You cannot win. It's like the old Raiders style of let's drop back and huck it 60 yards and hope something good happens, and that's all they can do with Anthony Richardson right now, or let him run.
No.
And it is just sustainable way. It's a college or high school offense.
He's been benched.
Yes.
So obviously they...
And you're going to lose the locker room if you keep doing that.
They know what you're talking about. So did he get benched more for that? Or did he get benched more for the fact that he tapped out of the game?
I'll tell you what, I think it was the nail in the coffin.
Here's what he said after the... So if you didn't see, he asked out of the game after a kind of this weird run.
Yeah. Third down, by the way.
He was just scrambling.
Third down scramble.
Yeah.
He gets up, he's a little winded, and he asked to the sideline.
Yeah.
And you can see all the Colts going...
Yeah, what?
What the hell?
And it looked, because they kind of grabbed his
leg. They thought
leg,
he was hurt.
And we, I was like, oh my God, here we go again. No, it turns out he was just tired.
Man, tired. I ain't gonna lie. That was a lot of running right there that I did, and I don't think I was gonna be able to go that next play. So I just, just told Sam I just needed a break right there.
Yeah, you can't. Honestly,
just needed a break right there.
I have been playing or watching football since I was about 7 or 8 years old.
Ouch.
So we're going on close to 40 years. I've never seen it. I just never seen it. Your franchise quarterback, the starting quarterback at any level on a third down, and you tap out because you're tired?
Need a blow, boss.
I just, you know, at some point, you lose the locker room. And this is the weird part about the NFL is like, you're like, oh, well, you're going through growing pains and, you know, this is the guy we drafted and needs to be our future. But for everyone else on that field, no one gives a damn about what's happening 2 years from now.
And couldn't he have either called a timeout or called a run play? Like, aren't there other ways to get out of that if you do need
I was
rest?
Watching the game. I think it was like 3rd and 8. And so,
okay,
it was obviously a passing situation. Like, you know, okay. I just never seen it. And
did they throw Flacco in there?
Yeah, they put Flacco in. And that's when I assumed that he was hurt. And I was like, oh boy, here we go again. I'm like, he's not going to get his job back. Well, he didn't get his job back, but it turned out not because he was hurt.
Well,
he's tapping out of plays.
They're saying that he is still their franchise and he will get another crack. This isn't permanent.
Man.
But Joe Flacco is clearly better. Joe Flacco can still sling it.
Yes.
Veteran. Yes.
Well, and
knows
and,
what he's doing.
And ultimately, again, this may be an opportunity for Anthony Richardson to learn, but this is the problem when you draft Anthony Richardson. And I said this when he got drafted. I've never seen a more ill-prepared quarterback coming out. And people were bringing up Josh Allen. And Josh Allen had his struggles, too, when he first came out. But Josh Allen played plenty of college ball. Anthony Richardson, I think, had like 15 college starts. And Anthony Richardson was bad in college. Not bad against elite competition. He was bad. And Babel drafted him because he was an athlete. But when you watch him play, from recognition to footwork to all of it, he is a bad NFL quarterback. He is the worst functional NFL quarterback as far as playing the position. He's just a great athlete, and he has a huge arm, and he can make plays with his legs. But and this is where that article I read said that this may change the way agents now are telling college quarterbacks. So it used to be, hey, Anthony Richardson gets a first round grade and they're like, hey, we think you can go in the first round and we think you may be able to climb the ladder here. And so it's like, hey, go now. And I think what you're seeing now with some of these guys that wash out, now that you can make money in college, there's an idea that if you haven't started 2 full seasons in college, your agent's going to tell you, you go back, you take the NIL money, and you sit and learn, because you just aren't going to get the time to develop in the NFL. It's not going to happen. And I know Bryce Young played more football, but you've seen now, whether it's Zach Wilson, Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, the tolerance for some of these young quarterbacks, this leash is not that long, and you can wash out in the span of 16, 17 games. And so when you go into the NFL, if you are completely unprepared, and make no mistake about it, some of these guys are completely unprepared, it doesn't do you any good to cash one rookie paycheck right on your signing bonus and then have it maybe nuke the whole career. You're better off going back to college, making $1 million, maybe $2 million bucks off NIL, and actually learning to play the position so that when you do get your opportunity in the NFL, you don't wash out after a year.
Definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
Who would teach them? Like, do you think that means then you get an influx of NFL-type coaches at the college level who teams bring them in to develop quarterbacks?
I would certainly hope so.
Because, I mean, you know, Anthony Richardson was at Florida.
Yeah.
Is there anybody there that can even teach him what he needs to know before going to the pros?
Tim Tebow. Wait, no.
I mean, look, Dave Bartu talks about this all the time. He's a big believer of the more you play. Obviously, it's like the Brock Purdy thing, right? Yeah. You know, physically he's not great, but he's played a lot of football. And so even if you aren't necessarily running NFL concepts, you're not running an NFL system, there's still something to be said for just playing the position more and seeing things and learning how to process information. So at least when I get to the NFL, yes, you may be teaching me how to process things differently. You may be teaching me different footwork, but I have a good platform, right? I have a solid base, as opposed to landing in the NFL and having no ability to process information, no ability to ever learn any real footwork. And now I'm having to learn from basically zero. And in case anyone was wondering, no offense to anyone trying to hit a baseball, the hardest thing to do in sports is play that position and play it well. And you're asking people to learn the toughest position in all of sports. You're asking them to learn it in the span of 15 to 16 to 17 games when you really have no... You really have no ability to do so. It's like, I mean, honestly, it'd be like dumping someone into a foreign country and being like, you have this long to learn the language and you better be fluent in it. And if you're not, in the span of 6 months, your ass is fired. It's just, it's really hard to do.
So there's a direct correlation between college starts,
yes,
and NFL success.
Yeah, there's a lot of, and there's more and more numbers that are starting to back that up, or at least the,
because Nick's,
yeah,
Nick's comes to mind. He has the most starts of anybody ever in college, right?
Yep. At least it's like with the bus factor, like having a lot of starts may not guarantee you success, but when you, and Dave talks about this part too, when you don't have a lot of starts and you aren't carrying the load in college, the ones that actually transition to the NFL, you are the outlier of outliers. And if you're drafting the number one guy that you're committing to, it's really hard to draft on an outlier state, you know, on an outlier base and say he's going to be the guy to buck the trend.
Yeah.
They needed a brick right there.
So
interesting.
Well, it's like Anthony Richardson is such a better physical prospect than Bo Nix. And Bo has had his own struggles, but Bo has shown you over the last couple weeks, it looks like there's some stuff there to work with. Like it's progressing. And you think about the number of reps and what Bo Nix has seen in his college time versus Anthony Richardson. And while they've both had their struggles, one you look at and say, hey, there's progress being made here. We can work with this. The other one you look at and you're like, I don't know where we go with this.
Yeah, I was looking at Lamar. He had three seasons at Louisville.
At Louisville.
Yeah.
And was raw, but it wasn't like
not
this.
Not like this.
Not like this.
All right.
How many did Zach Wilson have? Because I remember he had the one good year. Oh, and like that was it.
Zach Wilson.
And it was not pretty. I mean, I was just thinking of you know, it's like, ugh.
And then somebody else brought up Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah.
He didn't have a lot. No. Zach Wilson, 30 games.
Oh, so he played more. All right.
Three seasons.
Well, he may just suck.
Oh.
Well, he had one good year in college. And then, you know.
Somebody else mentioning Jordan Love sitting at Green Bay.
Yes. And that's, I would have loved to have seen what Anthony Richardson could have done with 3 years of sitting and be like, under no circumstance are you taking that field. We are going to spend 3 years and we're going to teach you how to do this, as opposed to, dude, just go out and make plays. Oh, you get hurt. And now, like, you took a team that was ready to win, that had a pretty good core, and you drafted the ultimate project player. Like, it was kind of doomed from the get-go unless he was the freak outlier.
Unless he was Jaden Daniels, basically.
But Daniels played a lot of football.
Yes, he did.
lot of football.
Yeah, going through all the guys, and yeah, they, it seems to be just on paper. You think about the guys who are having more success.
So then, in this case, in
they
that case,
had more starts.
Does that mean that Dylan Gabriel's game somehow translates to the NFL? He's got so. I mean, no, he doesn't have a big arm, but like,
he's gonna
can he
get
be a Purdy?
He's gonna get a crack, but I think there's some real physical limitations on him.
Yeah,
but yes, like if you
he
ask
gives
me,
him a chance,
he gives
right?
him a chance.
Yeah,
yes. Gives him a chance because he has played as much football as you can play. More so maybe than any college quarterback ever.
All right, coming up next, our NBA runaround on The Fan.